We have been in a series of teaching called Restless, where we've been talking about how do we find peace in the stress of life, not from the stress of life, but in the stress of life. And just to catch you up to speed with where we've been so far, week one of our series, we talked about where lasting peace is actually found. And we said, it's not the absence or the removal of your problems, as many of us so often try to do. It's not the removal of your problems, but rather lasting peace is found with the presence of God. And so it's not a peace from, but it's a peace in. And we compared it to like a light in your room. Like we said, hey, you know, the peace of God, it doesn't make all your problems go away, but rather like a light in your room at night, you click it on and it helps you to navigate the stress of life with humility and with confidence and with security in a way that you couldn't have before. And so we said that that's what real lasting peace is. It's the presence of God in our lives and in our situations. And then last week, we talked about one of the things that undermines our peace more often than not, and that is our pace. And we said that a lot of us have a busy addiction and we're busy, 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 and we're go, go, go. And our pace ultimately undermines our peace and distracts us from the fact that God is present with us, because we're just going, 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 and we haven't even stopped to reflect on his presence with us. And so we end up undermining our peace. And so we had a challenge last week to examine our rhythms and to insert rest. And I've actually heard from some people and they were like, yo, we did that at our 9:15. I had a couple that was sitting in the back and I had walked around and said, hey, and they were like, we did what you said to do last week. And we just like, we chilled out. We took a day and we feel so refreshed. I was talking to one of my other friends who's here this morning, DJ. What's up, DJ All Day? And that's his Instagram handle if anybody are looking to follow him. But DJ, he let me know. He was like, man, I heard your sermon last week and I inserted rest into my rhythm. I realized I don't sleep enough and I slept a little bit and I'm feeling fresh, right? And so hopefully some of you took us up on the challenge to insert some rest into your rhythm. And now this week, to close out our series, I've got to make a confession to you. And the confession is that as your pastor and the one who is preaching these messages, I know these things, right? I've been a professional Christian for going on 15 years now, and I know these things. I know that Jesus is my peace. I know that lasting peace is found in my relationship with God, and I know that my rhythms are important, and yet can I just confess to you that even though I know these things, sometimes stress still steals my peace. Anybody else? Anybody else care to admit? Like you're like, yes, like online, you can give me a little hand up emoji or whatever. Like sometimes, even though I know that my peace is supposed to be in God, and even though I know that in God there's a peace that passes understanding, sometimes stress still hits me and steals my peace. Now, I don't want to complain or compare problems here, but like for me, if I'm being transparent, the way that this is played out is it's really hard right now to be a pastor in this past year, right? Like of a church, it's been like, you know, you're in the middle of a pandemic and you're in the most politically divisive and racially tense seasons in history, in recent history, at least in my memory. And it's been very, very stressful to try to lead a church in an incredible community, but it's been a really challenging thing to do, and it's been quite stressful. And I have found myself many a night getting up and like usually like 2 or 3 in the morning and stressed out, can't sleep. So I'm like, I'm gonna do a little prayer lap, and I find my way to the pantry, and then I find those Starburst jelly beans, thank you Jesus, and I crush, like the other night I crushed an entire bag of Starburst jelly beans. Does anybody else eat their feelings, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some of you are like, he knows, right? Like I was eating my feelings, right? Like I found myself overwhelmed with the stress. And so sometimes, you know, stress, it can still steal our peace, even though we know the right answers, even though we know where our source is, it still manages to come in and steal our peace. And that's just the work stress, right? Not to mention the family stress and the relational stress and the financial stress. And you got the kids and you got your parents and you got all that other stuff going on in your life. And so on top of all that, it's easy at times to let stress steal our peace. And so what I wanted to talk about today as we're closing out our series is how do we get our peace back when it feels like our peace has been stolen? Like when it feels like, okay, I know that the peace of God is like this light, and yet there are times where stress and anxiety and worry starts to overwhelm and it feels like the light has gone off. It feels like my peace has been hijacked. It feels like my peace has been stolen from me. How do I get my peace back when it feels like it's been misplaced or hijacked or taken? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about taking back our peace. I have three children. I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And they'll be often a lot of my illustrations because they're who I live with every day. And they're like walking sermon illustrations, right? And so, but I have these three kids, and my oldest two, my 7 and my 5-year-old, they're really good friends. And they hang out a lot. And most of the time they play well together, right? But then everybody knows, no matter how good your kids are, sometimes, right? Like there's a little craziness. And if you ever want to, you know, evidence that we're all sinful and broken, just have children, right? And so they're my evidence. But the 7-year-old and the 5-year-old, oftentimes, you know, they get along and they play. But my 7-year-old is like the typical, like she is the typical firstborn. She is an alpha. She is the leader. She, like all the kids in the neighborhood, all the kids in the cul-de-sac, this is what we're playing, thus saith Blakely, right? Like, and so she does that and she kind of runs things. And my middle child, Miles, he's my 5-year-old. He's kind of easygoing and can kind of get bossed around. And my daughter will at times see something, you know, Miles will have the iPad, or Miles will have the TV remote, or Miles will have a toy that he just got, and Blakely would be like, I want that, and just take it, right? And the other day, we had such a situation happen. We were getting our house ready to have some people come over, and you know, you do the thing where you get your house ready and you make it look like it never looks like any other time so that you can pretend and lie to your friends that this is how your life looks like, but it doesn't look like that, you know what I mean? Like, and so we're doing that thing where you're like hiding everything and like scraping your messes away and stuff like that, so then that way they think that you're really, really clean, and then they feel bad about their life and they go home and do the same thing, right? Like, and so we're doing that. I know, so me, right? Like, and so we're doing that thing and we're getting the house ready. And my wife's like, you know, please help me with this. And my kids are downstairs playing. And this happens a couple times where Blakely takes something of Miles, and Miles comes upstairs and he does the, like, Blakely took my iPad, Blakely, you know, and that thing's happening. And I'm trying to help and get ready. And finally he comes up like the third time and he's whining. And he's like, you know, Blakely took the controller for the game. And I was like, buddy, here's the deal. Next time she takes it from you, take it back. Now listen, I know, caveat before anybody emails me and it's like, that is not good parenting. Okay, I know, right? But sometimes you hit that point, right? Where you're like, ugh, right? And so I was like, listen, next time she takes it from you, just take it back, right? Like, and while I realize that that's not great parenting, listen, what I want to tell you today is that when it comes to your peace, what I think our Heavenly Father wants to say to each and every one of you is take it back. Like, for some of you, it is time to take your peace back. It's been hijacked, it's been stolen, it's gone out the window. Like, you've lost your perspective and you've lost your peace. And today what I want to do is I want to help you by unpacking a little bit of the scriptures today. I want to help you to have the tools to take your peace back. And so if you're in the chat, you can just say, take it back. Like, I'm going to take it back. And right now, I just want you to be thinking that that's what we're talking about today. We've learned where our peace is sourced. We've learned one of the things that undermine it. And today, to close out our series, we're going to talk about what happens when stress steals our peace. How do we take it back? And how do we get it back when it feels like it's been hijacked or undermined? And so, I almost said, are you guys good with that? But then I'm holding the microphone, and so that's what we're talking about. I wasn't going to change it if you weren't. So, but here's where we're going. This is going to be, I want to show you what the Apostle Paul says. And if you're unfamiliar with Paul, he's one of the most famous Christian leaders, writers, church planners in all of history. As a matter of fact, like we're sitting here today a lot in part due to the work that Paul did early on in the life of Christianity. And Paul writes a letter to a church in Philippi, and we call that letter Philippians because we Christians are super creative. And so, but the letter to the Philippians, right? It's an incredible letter. It's a letter, just to give you context, it's a letter that is, its theme is like, it's joy in all circumstances. It teaches, he talks about having contentment and peace in all circumstances, no matter what life throws out at you and no matter what you face. And so if you find yourself like feeling like, man, I need joy, I'd like that contentment, like how do I get peace? You should go and look at the book of Philippians. It's a great read. It's a short book. It's only four chapters. And so you could read it all very easily in a day. But like if you just wanted to read something this week, you should go and read Philippians. It's incredible. And he unpacks a lot. But today, I just want to focus on just a handful of verses where Paul is writing and he teaches us how do we take back our peace and how do we safeguard our peace so that it doesn't get stolen or hijacked. And so in Philippians chapter 4, keep in mind as we read this, that Paul is not writing this from a beach somewhere. He is not writing this from some peaceful place. He's not writing this from his lake house or from his like mountain house getaway. He's not writing this from a place of just relaxation. He's writing this letter from prison. And so when he talks about having peace in all circumstances, and when he talks about getting your peace back when you feel stressed, he's writing from a place of knowing. I used to have a coach all the time that he never ran and he was badly out of shape and he would yell at us to run faster. And I used to always think, why don't you run ever? You know what I mean? Like, and that was always really, really frustrating. Paul is not that kind of coach. Paul is the kind who's writing from a place of knowing. And he's writing from a place of having experienced it. So keep that in mind as he's going to give us these instructions. He's going, hey, this is what I've done. This is what I'm doing in order to have peace in all circumstances. If you want to know how to take your peace back, he's like, let me show you the path back to peace. And so this is what Paul says in Philippians. This is starting in chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice and let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And so he sets the stage at first and he's going like, hey, like there's a reason to celebrate. There's a reason to praise. There's a reason to have peace. Like, and I want you to remember this, that God is near, like he's close. And I know that maybe he doesn't feel close right now. I know that maybe sometimes it feels like the light bulb has gone out. I know that sometimes it feels like your peace has gone out the window, but he's like, I want you to rejoice today because good news is that God is near. He's closer than you think. And if God is close, then peace is possible. And so he says, all right, so rejoice, be glad because God is near. And now let me show you how to take your peace back when it feels like it's been hijacked. He keeps going and he says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul is starting and he says, hey, I don't want you to be anxious about anything. And now I want you all to hear this today. He's not shaming you if you feel anxious or if you feel worried or if you feel stressed. Sometimes, and this is an admission and an apology, sometimes in church, we can make it seem like if you feel stressed that somehow you have less faith. Or sometimes we make it seem like that's like your problem and that God is somehow disappointed. That's not at all what he's communicating. What he's saying is, hey, you don't have to be anxious all the time. And so I don't want you to be overwhelmed by that. And so he says, I don't want you to be anxious. And because I don't want you to be anxious, he's like, I'm gonna teach you the pathway back to peace. And he starts by saying, hey, the first step towards reclaiming your peace, the first step towards guarding your peace and safeguarding your peace, he says, is this word right here. prayer. Now, don't roll your eyes and like some of you are like, I know, I get it, right? Like you're the pastor, you have to tell us to pray. Like some people like will check out because you've heard that like a million times, just pray about it. And so don't check out. And then some of you don't get discouraged because Paul is not saying here that you shouldn't also see a therapist or that you shouldn't also talk to a counselor or that if you're experiencing crippling anxiety that you shouldn't talk to your doctor about medication. He's not talking about any of that. He's not saying you shouldn't do any of those things or that any of those things are bad things. What he's saying is that if you want to experience peace on top of all of those great things, he says, what you should always start with is prayer. He says, you should always start with prayer. It doesn't have to be your only step, but it should definitely be your first step and not your last resort, which is also the way a lot of us tend to treat prayer. It's like, well, I've done everything that I know to do, and now I guess all I can do is pray. Paul says the path back to peace and the path to getting your peace back is to begin with prayer. And when he says begin with prayer, the reason why he starts with prayer is because in prayer, you guys, we're able to bring all the stuff that's overwhelming us to God. And the good news about that is that while you're overwhelmed by a lot of these things and you're stressed out, God is not overwhelmed by what is overwhelming you. And so we're able to bring these things and release them and to bring our fears and our doubts and our frustrations and to put them into the hands of someone who is more capable than ourselves. This is what we do when we pray. And some of you, you hear that and you're like, okay, well, how do I do that? Like maybe you're new to the whole prayer thing or you're intimidated by prayer. Or how do I even talk to God about these things? Because maybe the only prayers that you've heard, I remember when I was growing up, I only heard like the people pray out loud that were like really good prayers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like a good prayer. Like maybe you're in a small group and there's that one person that closes out every single week because they are the prayer, you know, and they can like really bring the thunder. And so like you hear them and you're like, no way, I'm not following that person because they use the thee, thou, thou, thy, thou, you know what I mean? Like, and they're praying like old King James and you're like, whoa. And so listen, I just want to remind you when we're talking about prayer, God is not impressed by pretty prayers, but he is drawn to honest and intimate ones. And so when it comes to prayer, the invitation and the instruction from Paul is, hey, get honest with God about what's stressing you out. You want peace? It starts, the very first step you can take is to get honest with God about what's stressing you out. Go to God, talk to him. Let him know about the things that are stressing you out. Along the way, as you start to unpack some of those things, you can release the stuff that's completely out of your control and the hypothetical things right now that are robbing you of your present peace. You can actually give those over to God and you can discuss those things and you can talk about those things and you can give them over to him. He says your first step to reclaiming your peace is to go to God and to pray. And this is where most sermons about peace tend to stop. We say, hey, pray about it. And then the peace of God will guard your heart like a bodyguard or a bouncer. Like peace of God will be there. Boom. Good. All right. See you guys next week. Go pray. Right. But the problem with that is one, a lot of you have done that and you prayed and you still felt stressed. And so that feels frustrating or discouraging. And then two, the other problem with that is Paul's not done talking about peace in this passage. Like that's really, really good first step. But Paul would say, hey, start with prayer, but don't stop there. Like he's not done talking about the full counsel of how to take back your peace. And so he says, it's your first step, but it's not your only step. And he keeps going. Let me show you what Paul says as he continues to talk about peace. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so when it comes to getting your peace back, when it feels like your peace has been stolen, when it comes to getting your peace back, when it feels like it's been hijacked, he says, start with prayer, but don't stop there. Yes, go to God first. But then he says, now keep going, because when you go to God in prayer, you release the stuff that's out of your control. But then there are some things that are well within your control that you need to act upon in order to take your peace back. And so he says, go to God in prayer, but then he gives us two other instructions to build on that. The first one that he says is this right here. He says, praise. He says, praise. And so he gives you that list of things. And he says, whatever is good and noble and true and excellent and praiseworthy, well, all of those things, he says, I want you to think about those things. I want you to intentionally identify those positive things in your life, those things where God is working, those things that are worth thanking God over, those things which are praiseworthy. I want you to intentionally identify those things, and I want you to give God thanks. And what happens when you do that, you guys, is all of a sudden that starts to stir up gratitude. When you intentionally identify things which are praiseworthy in your life, and here's the deal, like there's always something worth being thankful for. Always. No matter how bad it is right now, there's always something, if we would take the time to examine ourselves and our families and our lives, there's always something that's worth giving praise for. And he says, when you do that, it stirs up gratitude, and that gratitude is a natural antidote to anxiety and stress and worry. And so he says, I want you to think about these things, and I want you to actually like identify these things, and I want you to thank God for them. And one of the ways that we do that here at Gwinnett Church is we sing. Like that's the reason why, I hope you guys know, that's the reason why we sing. We're actually putting that verse into practice. We are identifying things which are true. They're scriptural. They're noble. They're praiseworthy. They're things about God, and they're things about our lives, and they're things about his promises. And we sing about them to remind ourselves to stir up that gratitude and to take our peace back. And so that's the reason why we sing. It's not because Christians just love like Jesus karaoke. It's not because Christians just like a good rock show with lasers, hazers, and lights. You know what I mean? Like it's actually because we are taking our peace back week in and week out by thinking about these things which are noble and true and praiseworthy and excellent. And then we're gonna sing about them. But it doesn't always have to be through song that you do this. Like praise doesn't always have to be song. As a matter of fact, this past year, a friend of mine and I, actually he's my best friend, and he and I, we decided, like we were both kind of stressed and we would gripe to each other on the phone a lot about the things that were stressing us out. And then we made a decision. We were like, okay, we went and read this Philippians chapter 4. I was reading it, and then I just told him I'm like being really convicted by this, about the stress that I'm feeling, and feel like my peace is gone. And he was like, well, what if we wrote down those words? And that's what we did. We for about 3 months this past year in 2020, we wrote down true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And then what I would do in the morning is I would get up and I would identify something in my life that fit those words. And I would identify it, and then I would give God thanks for it. And that act of intentionally choosing to do that, that act of intentionally choosing gratitude daily, it helped me reclaim my peace because it shifted my perspective off of the stuff that was stressing me out and off of the hypothetical things that hadn't even happened yet that were stealing my actual peace in the here and now. And so it shifted my perspective by choosing praise. And so Paul says, you want to get your peace back when stress steals it? He says, well, first you pray, you go to God and you release what's out of your control. And then you make the decision to praise, intentionally identify things that you're grateful for that God has given you and that he's put in your life. And then the last thing that he says here is he encourages us to practice. He says it this way. He says, whatever you learned or received or heard from me or whatever you've seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. He says, the last thing that you can do if you want to get your peace back is, he says, you practice your faith. He says, whatever you saw in me, however you saw me live out my faith, however you saw me like live out my Christianity, however you saw me work that out, like you remember the spiritual disciplines you saw me participate in? Remember how you saw me get myself planted in church and around community and in accountability? Remember that? He's like, yeah, do that. Remember how you saw me serving and actually exercising my faith instead of just intaking, I actually worked it out. Remember those things that you saw in me. And if you'll put put your faith into practice, what's crazy is like while you work your faith out, when you'll actually like participate in spiritual disciplines and meet with God, if you'll plant yourself in community and in accountability, and if you'll serve and activate your faith, what's amazing is you'll be reminded of how God is working both in you and through you. And when you're reminded that he's present and that he's near, then the peace can come. And so Paul says, hey, if you want to experience peace, you want to get your peace back when you've lost it, or you want to guard, you want to safeguard your peace from getting hijacked, he says, well, then here's what you got to do. When the stress comes, here's what you got to do. Release what you can't control. By prayer, you go to God, give him the stuff that's completely out of your control, and then do what you can by choosing intentionally to stir up gratitude with praise and by actually practicing your faith and working it out through spiritual disciplines and through service. He says, if you'll do these things, then the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your heart. And you will experience the God of peace, and you will encounter the God of peace. And so when it feels like the light bulb has gone out, this is what we do. We pray and we praise and we practice, and that is the pathway back to peace. And it's like the light can come back on. And again, the promise isn't your problems will go away, but that the peace will come and you will be able to navigate the stress of life with confidence and hope and security. And that is what your Heavenly Father wants for you and for me, is that we would experience peace. This is how we take it back when the stress tries to steal it. Amen? So to wrap it up, our series, peace, lasting peace. It is found in the presence of God, not the absence of your problems. And your pace, while it will never produce your peace, it certainly can undermine it. So be watchful. Do not become enslaved to your calendar or to your busyness, but rather you be the master of your calendar and make sure to insert rest. And then when the stress comes, and it's going to come, and when the stress tries to rob you of your peace, or you feel like the light bulb has gone dim, then follow the pathway back to peace by prayer and by praise and by practice. And in this way, you guys, this is how we restless people in a restless society find peace in the stress of life. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are perfect and lasting peace. Thank you that you're present with us and in us. And in that, we can have confidence and security, and we can have hope. Help us to watch our pace, to insert rest. And then for those of us that feel like our peace has been hijacked or stolen, Father, we just pray that today you would help us to begin taking steps to reclaiming and to taking back our peace. I just pray right now that even while I'm praying to you, that there would be people here today that would begin to release that thing that's overwhelming them, that's completely out of their control. They would begin to release things over to you right now, that they would begin to hand those things to you and put them in your hands. Thank you that your hands are strong, and that your shoulders are broad, and that you can handle the stuff that feels overwhelming to us. It's not overwhelming to you. And I pray this week that we would be able to identify things that we're grateful for, that you're doing. Give us eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and help us to stir up gratitude in our lives, and help us to practice our faith so that in the practice, we get to actually meet with you, and we are reminded that you're working in us and through us. We love you, we trust you, and that is where our peace is found. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.